Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Got my handy dandy Gemini cup. Sit back and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for this week, as well as for today. I'm hoping all of you had a wonderful weekend. I was gone for the weekend celebrating two granddaughters' birthdays. We had a girls' weekend down in Vancouver, Washington, and it was fabulous. It was just fabulous. I can't even tell you all. It was healing. And as we had just a wonderful time, we had a great time. I'm wishing everybody the same kind of weekend that we had. And of course, the trip home was uneventful as the trip down was eventful. As one, we almost got in an accident that would have been hard to survive. But due to the quick thinking of both my daughters, each driving a different car, one went one way, the other went around, and we managed to miss what could have been just a tragic accident. And then we got through some horrible weather, some downpour so bad that you couldn't even see the lines on the highway. And then we came home to beautiful sunshining weather. So we liked that. Almost like, you know, and then I got really great pictures of rainbows as I was driving myself back to my house after we got back in town. And it was amazing, like this beautiful ending to a beautiful weekend. So it was symbolic, I think, of the universe granting us this wonderful weekend and telling us to be in our bodies when we're driving so that you are very aware of what is happening in front of you. So anyway, hopefully all of you had a great weekend too. So here we are at Monday. So we have some things to talk about this morning as far as the moon and what the moon is doing today. I couldn't have even told you this morning when I woke up what sign the moon was in because I just did not pay attention to this at all over the weekend. But the moon is in Sagittarius for all of today. And then tomorrow morning early, we will move out of Sagittarius and into the sign of Capricorn. So I want to talk to you about what Sagittarius means and what the transits are for the day with the planets and the moon. And then I want to talk about what's going on this week. And while this week doesn't see as many changes or ups and downs as last week, there are definitely some important transits going on. We'll take a look at what the Pleiadian Earth energy is for the day. And then as well, today is the dawning of a new human design week. This is a week based in abundance and fulfilling your heart's desires. Isn't that awesome, right? That's a week we really love to have. Although, of course, as always, we get challenged about how much do we believe we deserve to have everything, right? So we're going to talk more about what that is. So let me first check in and see how people are doing this morning and make sure that I'm on the right channel. And indeed, I look to be on the right channel for once. And it's so funny because there's a lot of work involved in mediating a YouTube channel, right? And making sure everything's going as it's supposed to go. And back in my early days, I started a YouTube channel. And I don't know why I ended up starting another channel. I think probably when I changed to my name to Living Astrology. And, or I don't know, who knows, but somehow I have now two YouTube channels. And periodically in the morning, I'm forgetting to change to the correct channel. So if you don't find my broadcast, sometimes that's what's happened. I had a lapse in my mind and I went to the wrong channel. And I do believe that might've happened on Thursday or Friday of last week. But know that I am here every day. And sometimes eventually Asa and I will get all of the videos off the old channel and onto the new channel. And then I can just delete that other one. But that's a big program to undertake as well. So the process itself is not easy. It's not like, oh, I'll just copy this, copy that. Nope, not quite that easy. So eventually I will do that and we will no longer have that problem. So good morning, Amy Energy and Andy Girl. It's good to see you. Ingrid, hello. Buongiorno, she says. And Mimi, good morning. Kathleen Mallory, glad to be here and glad you are all here too. I love that. Augustina, good morning. Elisa, good morning. And Asa, good to see you out there, my friend. And let's go on and talk about what it is that the moon is going to be bringing to us this week. Oops, that is not where I wanted to go. Need to go back to Zoom. There we go. So this week, we begin with the moon in Sagittarius, a sign of freedom, right? A sign that's on a quest for the capital T truth. And that means doing the due diligence, digging, looking for answers, following the path. I call it following threads, pulling threads, right? I have my curiosity taking me in new directions. Well, Sagittarius being the sign of that is opposite of Gemini's curiosity, takes those threads and looks for the truth, the organizing principle behind what it is. And I'm going to give you guys a funny instance of how Sagittarian energy works. Is my oldest or my youngest daughter is a Sagittarian. And this weekend, I had had a reading with Pia Orlean and about my Pleiadian Earth astrology. And yesterday morning, she and I were meeting quickly just to go over any questions I might have had, etc. Well, in my reading, I had asked her about my youngest daughter and what she was struggling through because she could look and see that kind of information. And there was literally about two paragraphs that were devoted to her. And in her Sagittarianist ways, she read every word and then she started dissecting every sentence. And then she's asked me, well, what does that mean? And then I would tell her what that means. And then she goes, okay, I need to reread all of this again. It was so amazing to watch this because that is the kind of passion that Sagittarius energy brings to us. Wherever you have Sagittarius in your chart is where you are likely going to take things to that nth degree, really digging up and looking underneath and seeing what makes this tick and how does this apply to me and how can I make this better and what does this mean because I can't really quite get how those words are arranged. She even took a picture of the paragraphs that were written so that she could look at it later. That is Sagittarius quest for truth. And that applies to religion, that applies to the quest for truth through our philosophy or our spirituality, in looking for guidance, and also in honestly taking a look at yourself and your energy or whatever it is that you need to dive deep into. And then the last line of what Pia had written for my daughter said it was something like she can help herself get out of her head by going out in nature. Well, as soon as she's telling me that, I'm like, yes, she's a Sagittarian. Sagittarius energy connects us to that natural world, to nature, right? And in nature, it is almost like a cleansing of all of the day-to-day craziness that the mind gets involved in. And all that's there, what's stripped down in nature is the naturalness of the way things should be working in your life, right? Where it's quieter and you can hear, right? Remember on Friday, Cullen talking about listening energy. And as that is our overlighting energy now for 13 days, we could all use a dose of nature. And I know like today, nature's going to kick up a fuss here. I'm not going to go out as it is on Friday when I left. Right after the show was done, I got things done and I went out to get in my car. I got hit in the head with a flying branch. I'm like, oh, well, this is a great start to this weekend. So don't do it if it's dangerous, but definitely connect to nature when you can, when it's possible. Now, also the peace of mind comes in when you can shut the mind down. And that's sometimes what Sagittarius energy, it's so fast thinking. And it's not necessarily because Mercury's involved here, it's just they take in so much, right, from around the world, from around them, and they're trying to kind of make sense of the world through the mind. So for Sagittarius energies, it is going out in nature where the mind has an opportunity to relax and to shut down some. Freedom. That's one of the hallmark words for the sign of Sagittarius. Spontaneity, adventure, exploring, dealing with new cultures and new experiences are all a part of the Sagittarius energy, looking for and exploring what's different, what's unique out there in the world with a positive expectation that I'm going to find something new, or I'm going to be in, I have to embrace, you know, bigger horizons, or something is going to, you know, cause my vision to go from tunnel to wide view. And I'm going to see something new out there in the world, whether it's through people, whether it's through foods, whether it's through music, whether it's through study, whatever it is, I'm going to expand my vistas. And that's for all of us, right? The moon is transiting through here. So it's a connection that each of us is making and that we each make at least for 2 to 3 days a month, 2.5 days likely, where we have that Sagittarius energy in our sort of in our faces. Sagittarius in the more mundane rules the law. And this is why when we were talking about Jupiter in a conjunction to Pluto, that the law and the laws, rules, and regulations that rule our society came up, right? Because the planet Jupiter is the ruling planet for Sagittarius. So there's a connection to your natal Jupiter and to the house that contains Sagittarius for you in your own natal chart. So lawsuits and ethics and consciousness, conscience, all come through the sign of Sagittarius. So if you're dealing with some kind of law issue, this is a great couple of days to make some inroads into that and to see how that is playing out when you and when you yourself are in alignment with integrity and conscience. Optimism. Jupiter kind of ensures that Sagittarius is going to have a more optimistic flair. There's good luck here. There's generosity of spirit here. There is this like fortune smiles upon you wherever it is in your own chart. Now, there's also education, right? Gemini rules the third house. The third house rules our lower education. So K through 12th grade, perhaps, or technical schools, that kind of thing, the smaller learning, the more one-to-one learning. When we get to Sagittarius, we're talking about higher learning. So now we're talking about colleges and universities, philosophies, and seeking answers to life's big questions. So it's less of a personal journey of learning things like math and reading and that type of thing, and looking for life's bigger questions or answering life's bigger questions. And we do that in a less guided way, right? If you think about your college or your university education, you were probably 50 to 100 people in a classroom, in an amphitheater sort of setting, and the teacher has far less time to spend with you personally than, say, your elementary grade teachers who were very willing to spend one-on-one time with you. So we see that sort of you're on your own and you have to be responsible for your own learning when it comes to Sagittarius. Now, of course, all the signs have the shadow energies in them as well. Built in is the more negative expression as well as the positive expression. And we sometimes are toggling back and forth. The shadow energy in the sign of Sagittarius is a sense of carelessness. This sort of reminds me of manifesting generator energy. Not that manifesting generators are careless. That's not what I mean. But that they can be moving so quickly, that they skip steps, that they take shortcuts. And if you are a manifesting generator, then this is sort of your proper pathway. But if you're not a manifesting generator, but you are a Sagittarian, you may find yourself often going ahead, doing something, and then going, I forgot something. Now I have to go back. And you're going forward, and then you're going back. So Sagittarius in your chart may show you where you are careless or you take shortcuts when you should be taking it slower. It can show us our extravagances, Jupiter, right? Jupiter in a chart can show us where we overdo things, where there are excesses, and where we can go to the nth degree in something rather than doing something in proportion, right? Keeping things sort of balanced, and instead we're way high or way low. And that is a problem in energy in Sagittarius, as well as blunt communication. They're often the ones that say what they're thinking in the moment that they're thinking it without the filter of, wow, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to because in the interest of honesty, I need to get this off my chest. But then sometimes that means they can hurt people's feelings. So we'll have to be careful for watching our words for the next couple of days here. And in matters related to the body, Sagittarius rules the hips and the liver. Conditions like sciatica, and it also rules the thighs, right? The upper legs in your body. Okay, so that's our moon, right? That's our moon. Today, the moon is in a trine to Mars. Now, I got to ask, how are you guys feeling now that Mars is in forward motion? Have you noticed a change in your energy level? Have you noticed a change in what you can get done? Let me know here in the chat. Good morning, Jennifer Peachy and Corey and JLo. And Andy Girl says, my birthday's on Sunday. Happy birthday to you. 11/22, I'll be 32 years young. I can so relate. Awesome. Happy birthday to you ahead of time. We'll try to remember on Friday as well. Camilla, good morning to you. Andy Girl says, my Jupiter is in Gemini in my 11th house. Sagittarius is in my 5th house. So with Jupiter in Gemini, then you're always on a quest for information, right? That's part of who you are, both the narrow band of information that you can get on a broad number of subjects, but then also taking that lower look or the not lower, but deeper look into those subjects that are really of interest to you. So Jupiter can kind of fuel, I need more info, I need more info, I need more info. And it can cause you to be always on the hunt, always on the seeking end of something, but not necessarily finding the answers, Andy Girl. So at some point, you know, you got to call a halt to the information seeking. I need to know more. And in the 11th house, it's about the 11th and 5th is about self-expression, living your life based on your heart-centeredness, your dreams and your hopes and goals. But if you're constantly on the hunt on who it is that I'm supposed to be and keep looking for more information about what does that mean for me, then you are cutting yourself out of the time that could be spent on just expressing the truth of who you are and loving yourself for who you are. So watch that one. Jupiter can be so awesome, but Jupiter's also the planet that creates pandemics, right? So remember that one. And let's see, Mimi, good morning. Oh yes, feeling a positive change, more energy, clearer thinking. Indeed, I feel like that same energy blessed us on Friday for not getting into the accident because while the person two cars up that suddenly slammed on their brakes and the rest of us were, you know, in the energy of having to decide what to do in that moment, I believe that Mars moving forward, or at least stationary, gave my daughters the openness to go, okay, one went one way, one went around. We ended up on the shoulder next to the car whose brakes got slammed. And if that shoulder had been narrow, we never would have made it. We would have hit those cars at 55 miles an hour. It would have been ugly. And yet we got through it, right? We got through it unscathed, except a little nervous. Thank God for seatbelts and all of that good stuff, right? Xenia, good morning. Yes, a change in energy. Mars is also trine Mars in my 11th. My Jupiter's in Virgo in the 8th, conjunct Pluto, South Node, and Uranus. Well, it's time for you to change up things, right? To me, that looks like it's time for you to get on the path of your life purpose and let go of the old in favor of the new, right? Start moving in that new direction if you haven't already. And I'm not sure how old you are, Xenia, but chances are with an 8th house Pluto, your life is often in change or transformation, right? The Uranus there bringing surprising things perhaps that cause you to have to change and to upset, right? To things that are out of your hands in some respects. So that is a few. Yes, indeed. Okay. So keep sending up your comments about if you noticed any changes in Mars energy over the weekend. I think Mars, you know, he's going to take some time before he gains speed. He is, let's see, today, let's look, he's only at 15 degrees, 17 minutes. He was at 15 degrees, I think, 10 minutes when he moved direct. So you can see it's not going to be like a quick jump ahead. So we have to be patient as Mars begins to pick up speed and moves us forward. And I think this is your opportunity to be really deliberate about where you're going, about what you're doing, right? Don't just be so willing to jump because now we can jump. Be more deliberate, right? You've had 2 months worth of time for you to really imagine what it is that you wanted to do, to let go of what wasn't working perhaps, or to really get clarity around what your desires are. And I had a profound moment. I think it was yesterday on the way home. I saw an email, I think is what triggered it. And that's generators, right? We get these triggers from an email. And I suddenly in that moment got a sort of crystal clarity. And I'm not sure what that means yet, right? Because I really don't have the push yet behind me. And that's kind of Mars as well, right? We might get this sense, right? Now I see the right and perfectness of the path ahead of me, but is there the energy yet there to take action? And I haven't really even had the time to let it settle in and, you know, get me the clarity that I need. So be patient, right? This trine to Mars today with the moon might help us get there, right? We have fire energy today with the moon in Sagittarius and Mars in Aries. And in a trine, it's an ease and flow of this energy. They are in like elements. So the energy of creativity is there today. It may just take some time for that to actually move outward and become expressed in the outer world. There's also a square to Neptune today with the moon, and that square can sometimes make it a little foggy, make it a little hard for us to think clearly. It's a great day to be imaginative. If you have an art project or a drawing or something creative that you really want to do, today's the day, right? Because we can use that energy of dreaminess and kind of that imagination and fantasy to create something. But maybe something that's not as important as you might think, right? Something that's just kind of fun. Maybe that it can turn into something later on. But today we do have that access with the square to Neptune to dreaminess, imagination, but it also makes our minds a little bit muddled. So thinking clearly might be a little more difficult. And then we have a sextile to Venus. And the Venus sextile to the moon in Sagittarius is a good energy. There's flow here. We're looking at Venus changing signs here in the not too distant future. I want to say, was that next week that that happens? And or is it the end of this week? It is Saturday. Venus will change signs from Libra to Scorpio. So we have maybe some things that we're trying to bring into balance and harmony. And today with the moon in Sagittarius, we might see exactly what that means and how we are meant to do that. The moon will turn into the void this evening, late my time, 11:55 p.m. for the rest of you in this country, as well as over in Europe and points further east. From here, it will be late in or early in the morning, tomorrow morning. And the moon is void until 8:35 a.m. my time, so 11:35 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And it is going to be moving out of Sag and into Capricorn. And we know what happens when we move the moon into Capricorn. Our thoughts and everything turn to that rebuilding, reformulating, reimagining, rebuilding, reevaluating kinds of energies as the moon starts to stir up all of the lessons that we've had through Saturn's transit through the sign of Capricorn, through Jupiter's transit in the sign of Capricorn, and Pluto's continuing transit in the sign of Capricorn, Pallas Athena's transit through the sign of Capricorn. So for the next few days after today, we will have that being triggered for us. But I don't think it has to be, it doesn't have to be in a negative sort of way. In fact, in Capricorn energy, sometimes it gives us the gift of being able to stand back and be more objective as we look in and we can see, well, that isn't going to work. And as much as I think I want to move in that direction, that isn't going to be the right course for me. Maybe I need to go over that way. Right? So it won't be necessarily a bad thing, but things can get triggered later in the week when the moon comes into a conjunction with Pluto, Jupiter, and Saturn in Pallas Athena. So we have that to look forward to, but it's also, like I said, a time for us to be able to really look at and regenerate things from a different perspective. Also this week, we started yesterday with the sun, or on Sunday with Venus, excuse me, in a square to Pluto and to Jupiter. So we already have Venus in the later degrees of Libra, and Libra is square or 90 degrees to Capricorn in a chart. So we already have Venus helping us to realign our integrity and our values, maybe affecting our finances in some way, maybe helping us to see what relationships we need or need to let go of in order for us to complete that regeneration and that rebuilding cycle that we've been in. Now, that was yesterday's energy, but Venus is still going to be affecting us throughout the week because she also still has to square up with Saturn, and she won't do that until Thursday. So we have really the effects of Venus squaring those planets in Capricorn throughout this week. And that won't shift until Saturday when she shifts out of Libra and into Scorpio and begins then to take on the planet Uranus. Right now, she's going to be in that opposition to the planet Uranus in Taurus, and that'll change up the energy. As well, this week, we can look forward to the sun changing signs out of Scorpio and into Sagittarius. But before we get there, I am absolutely going to share with you my thoughts about Ophiuchus, the 13th sign, and what I think would be a good opportunity for us as astrologers in this business to adopt a new paradigm ourselves, right? To let go of our refusal to look at that 13th sign. Why are we refusing to do that? Well, they have really good reasons, rational reasons, but rationality out the window in favor of creating more magic and mysticism. And one way to be able to do that is to bring in that 13th sign. I just know it. I just know it. I can't tell you how I know what I know, but I know. And until we can do that, I'm not going to say until we can do that, because I think each of us can do that, as we are living already in a paradigm of the Pleiadian Earth energy that puts us in a 13-week or 13-day cycle in a week, and how that creates this spiral of consciousness. And I think it's only a matter of time for the rest of the world that's still adhering to the 12 of anything, to begin to pick up that 13 and reincorporate it into our beingness. And when we do, you're going to see the world change, because it's going to put us in more alignment with the natural cycles of time, the natural cycles of the universe, and how the universal energies work. I think it was Pia that said, when we stop at 12, it's like we stop at the edge of a cliff. It's a cliffhanger, right? We don't go all the way into integration. We got the understanding, which is a very mind-oriented thing, but integration is whole body, right? We have to integrate everything. And that's what the 13 gives us the opportunity to do. So interesting, right? So we'll talk about that as well this week. Let's see, what else do we have? Our new Human Design Week starts today. So we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Then we also have a sun sextile Saturn, Mercury opposing Uranus. And those planets there put pressure on us personally, right? Mercury opposing Uranus. I think we talked a bit about that on for the new moon, because that was already activated then. It tells us to get out of our lower minds, elevate to our higher minds, where we can see things from a different perspective, where we can see the wider view, where we can pick up some ingenuity, where we can live out our brilliance and our genius, and we can see things from that elevated perspective. Venus into Scorpio, she takes on her, you know, sex kitten sort of outfit when she gets into Scorpio. Things become more bonding oriented in terms of how do we come together with intimacy? How do we express our passion, our love for one another? And also do more investigative work. And while Venus is in Scorpio, she will still be hitting the gates that are on the spleen, and as well Mercury does for another week or two. And then we'll be done with Mercury in the gates of the spleen, triggering the fears. But Venus will lag behind a little bit, taking us, you know, a little bit longer to go through more of our fears and our shadows. All right. Questions? Asa is silent. I haven't heard any questions. Anybody need any clarification? I'm just looking to make sure I didn't miss something, but I did not. Okay. So let me go over real quick and see what people are saying. JLo says, weird. My daughter, Scorpio, Sag, Cusp, 11/21, got into a car accident. Oh, I'm so sorry. Weird, not weird. As I follow you every day, I learn and connect things daily. Yeah, it was. I'm telling you that if we had gotten into that accident, it was not going to be pretty, right? It would not have been pretty, because we literally couldn't see. The car in front of us didn't have their brakes on at first, so it was only because my daughter saw a truck suddenly go off into the next lane that she went off into the next lane. We, two cars behind, did not see why it was all of that was happening until the last second. And thankfully, there was that shoulder that she could, go veer off into, because we wouldn't have been able to stop in time. And I'm not sure whose fault, if there was a fault at all. It was all of us maybe not paying attention and driving too fast. But anyway, it was all good. It was all good. So hopefully your daughter is going to be okay as well. Petra, good morning to you this morning. She said, my son was more depressed yesterday, I thought, and was hoping he was getting better. Depression is one of those things that is cyclic and has to do a lot of times with our minds and what our minds are focused on. Now, there is clinical depression. I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you what kind of depression he's experiencing, except I do know what some of the personal things are that he has gone through recently. And if that's the case, Petra, likely it's all about what he's focusing on. Where is his mind? His mind is on the things that happened and the anger, upset, or disappointment in all of that. Maybe there's some fear mingled in there about what comes next and how am I going to do this? So his mind literally is focusing on the wrong things instead of getting into the more positive spin. Well, I wonder what this opens up for me now, right? Changing that, I hope and wonder and sort of awe that there's this giant cycle in this universe that's taking us through these issues. And what am I learning from this? How do I want to live my life from here on? There's lots of hopefulness, even in the midst of what's happened for him. And maybe you can help him to choose his thoughts more carefully so that he's not uber focused on what has happened. Because now he's just keeping that alive, right? He's keeping that emotional connection there. His growth in this is stunted while he's focused on what has happened instead of what does this mean for me? What opportunities are opening up for me? And going at it from a little bit more positive a direction. And I know that's difficult. I know I can hear you screeching. That's so hard because it is, right? It is. It's hard. But we have to choose. That's the only real freedom we have in this lifetime. I'm telling you, the only real freedom you have and I have is to choose. Choose what we're going to do in response to what life has thrown us, what curveballs life has thrown us. Am I going to respond with fear, or am I going to react with fear, with anger, with upset, or am I going to choose to step back and become a little more objective and look in and see what this might mean for me in the future and what's possible. What more is possible? I'm already giving you guys the keywords for 2021. They're already showing up in my world. And one of them is possibilities. When we tap into possibility thinking instead of probability, instead of what has happened or what we think will happen as we try to predict what happens next based on old patterns of logic, the energy of possibilities is where we need to go. I wonder what more is possible, right? When we look out from our lives with wonder and awe and not with the psychotic thinking that we've always gotten ourselves into, which is reactionary thinking. And we have that very major solar plexus mutation that is happening. And even now, it's been happening. It's actually been in progress. And what we're really having to look at is how are we going to respond to what comes up and not what does come up. Does that make sense? I hope everybody's getting that. And you, Petra, because you're in the know, are in a very good position to not allow him to keep thinking, kind of give him this idea of what comes next. What comes next? What else could be possible? What else could I do? And what's opening up for me in the closing up of this marriage? And what is that? What more can I do? That kind of thing. Christine, yikes, glad you're okay. Indeed. Sagittarius is in my fifth house and is my galactic center. Everybody, by the way, has the galactic center at about the same place in the chart, and that's between 26 and 27, 28. I think it's between 26 and 27 degrees of Sagittarius. That is where the galactic center sits. That is the center of our universe. That is the black hole at the center of our universe that is always seemingly emitting some high energy particles, gamma rays, cosmic rays, neutrinos that stream into all corners of our universe and including the Earth. and helps us to evolve, right? It is the power, the engine behind change in this universe and on this planet. So Sylvester, since you have that in your fifth house, it is regenerating creativity and love and romance for you, always seeing things in the more positive vibe as that new stream of energy is always coming in. Loving Light, good morning. She said, we are so blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. J-Lo, hope your daughter's well. That's coming from Loving Light. Petra, yes, it makes sense. Awesome. And I know that's hard when people are feeling sad and low. And I have to remind, I've never really been someone who spent a lot of time in depression. I'm always the cheerful cheerleader kind of person, but I have at times in my life gotten into those ruts, right? Where something, you know, big has happened. And the point is that I've gotten myself sometimes into that place where all I could see was the negative, what I don't have, what happened, and that story, you know, that just keeps going around. The only one that can change the story is him, right? He can't change what has happened. It happened. And that part's true. And the feelings he has about that are all true. But as far as what comes next, that's totally in his hands, right? That's totally in his hands. He's empowering himself, or he should be empowering himself to take on what more is possible, what comes next. All right. So let's take a look at the human design chart for the day. Where did I put it? I'm going to share my screen. Nope, I'm not going to share it yet because I need to find it first and then I'll share it. What I did is I went to Jovian and I got the just now chart for the day so we could take a look, and it doesn't look a whole lot different than it did last week now that I think about it. In that, there we go. You're seeing the human design chart for this week where the only channel that's completely defined is the 6124 possibilities, right? I mean, that's magical, isn't it, Petra? That's the energy that's the only defined energy. Not that in your own personal chart, if you have defined energies, it doesn't change that up, but this is the only newly, it's not even new, but the only defined energy at the moment that's coming in from the universe, right? And that is the 61, where it's the gate of wonder and awe, and the gate 24. What's the gate 24 in the new languaging? It is 24 is blessings. Duh, of course I knew that. Blessings and awe and wonder, right? So looking for that as opposed to the old way that we looked here, which is the ugly, the depressing, the what has happened, the old story. So the possibility here is just huge that he can rewrite the story, right? Rewrite the story. Rewrite isn't, he can't rewrite what happened because it happened, but he can rewrite what his response is going to be to that story, right? Initially, I responded with depression and sadness and, oh, how could she do this to me? But now I've rewritten that story and it is like, she's done me a favor, right? She gave me blessings in the form of letting me go so that I could move on to new possibilities. Right. So that's the way that I would hope that he could move into thinking about this instead of staying in the old story. It doesn't change the old story. It just says, I'm going to change how I'm looking at this story. All right. I hope that helps. There are no other channels defined, but the sun this week has now moved to the gate 14. We know that in the gene keys as the gate of bounteousness. Say that 10 times fast. Bounteousness. Bounteousness. Meaning plenty, right? Abundance. And it is a gate that sits on the sacral right here. It moves up toward the identity center. And some of you know this gate as the gate of working for money, working for abundance. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only way that you can get abundance. But typically the people who have the gate 14 love the idea of working and then getting paid. Now, if we paid in Bitcoin or we paid in chickens, or we paid in shells, it wouldn't matter to them. So it's not about the money itself. It's about the feeling of doing work and then being remunerated for it, right? Something being given to you in the exchange. The gate 14 is now called the gate of creation. And this is the new human design, the quantum human design languaging by Karen Curry Parker that I'm undergoing the training for at the moment, the retraining, if you will, because I already know these gates as other things. But this gate, this gate this week for all of us. So this gate 14 right here is all about our being at peace with this idea of having resources, being resourceful and not focusing on the lack of resources. So we have to be in a constant state that of trust that the next thing that we need is going to magically appear when we need it, that everything will show up in the right time, in the right place, in the right way, with the right opportunity for you to move forward, that life supports you, right, in the flow of being aligned, from being aligned with your heart. So the mind, the heart, the soul, all in alignment, and trusting in a benevolent universe that will bring you exactly what you need in the right timing. The unbalanced expression here is the fear and the worry that we're not going to have enough money, that we won't have enough to pay our bills. And then we end up in a situation of compromise, right? We'll start to let go of what our heart really desires because over here, that job looks better. It's going to pay me more. Even if I'm not happy, I'm going to feel better because I have more flow of resources, which is, of course, the most unbalanced expression in that energy. So the lesson is to learn to respond to the opportunities in your outer world that bring resources that are aligned with what your heart is in alignment with, by doing what your heart is in alignment with. It has luck. This is a signature of luck, right? So people who have the gate defined normally find themselves often in the right place at the right time. That's what luck is. Right place, right time, right opportunity to soar, to live from my heart, to love what I do, to love, to be in the most gorgeous relationships, loving, generosity, et cetera, et cetera. But now everybody has this, and it's an important thing because it's the sacral, and the sacral energy is always, it's vitality, it's sustainable, right? It's sustainable energy. You could sustainably and energetically move in the wrong direction too, right? So here's where it's so important to follow what you really love, what your body is telling you is the best way forward. So there's that one, that the earth is at the gate 8. So if we go straight up the line through the identity center, we'll come to the gate 8 sitting on the throat center, moving down toward the identity center. Now it's on the throat, right? So this is a gearbox energy. This is an energy that's seeking expression out of us in some way, manifesting or communication wise. And the gate 8 is literally called the gate of contribution in the old languaging. In the new languaging, it's called the gate of fulfillment. It is fulfilling us, right? To push the edges of who you are, to know, in knowing that you need to go in that direction, irregardless of what your family, your friends, or, you know, what it looks like, because out of your knowingness, your heart-centeredness, you push yourself in that right direction and then become fulfilled, right? That the full expression of who you are is your responsibility and your gift, right? For you to be your authentic self is your life purpose in no small way, right? We're always looking for your people. Raise your hand. Out there, I can't see you. So you're, you know, you've got anonymity. Raise your hand if you're still searching for your life purpose. All right. If you feel like you're searching for your life purpose, you're not alone, but your life purpose is to find what fulfills you. That is the gift in the gate 8. That is what the earth is reminding us about, that your job is to follow your strategy, follow your authority, follow the opportunities that make you feel good or that your body instinct is telling you to do, not listening to what's going on up here, because the mind will always try to, it's, you know, sort of egoic. It's trying to protect you, yes, but it might tell you lies. It's not telling you the truth. It can only compare and contrast and data recall and bring up memories. It has no power. It only has awareness. But the sacral and the throat center here this week have power to take us in the right direction. There is a certain amount of vulnerability that is in this gate 8, by the way, where because it connects to the identity center, right? The G center or the center, the seat of your soul, the place of you, right? The true authentic you, where you may feel vulnerable, where maybe in the past, as you've gone more towards your life purpose of being an artist, let's say, I'm just making that one up, but being whatever it is that you were meant to be, that you've gotten criticized, right? That as you wanted to contribute to the world by being an artist, your family's like, you're never going to make any money from that, or you can't draw, what are you thinking? And so you shut yourself down from that feeling of being vulnerable from having been criticized about following your life path. And of course, that isn't the other person's fault, right? That's them doing what you put them in the way for you to hear, which is how your own thought processes have shut you down, right? How your own mind is not being your friend. It is telling you what your fears are instead of what's the truth. And the authentic truth here is that it's yours to go and fulfill, not somebody else's. When you have people in your life that are telling you, you're never going to make anything out of yourself with that, it is the representation of your own fears, right? Because we're projecting that outward onto the people around us. So if you can remember that in the moment, then you can release your attachment to being vulnerable and feeling criticized or judged, right? You don't have to feel that way. It might be the truth that, yes, I have felt criticized and judged for following my life purpose. You can contribute to being authentic by continuing to live your life purpose and listening to the fear and grabbing onto it and saying, okay, I love you. I know you're there. I have in the past felt fear around this, but we're going to move forward anyway, right? We're going to do what I know is truth for me. All right. Any questions or anything about that, let Asa know and she will get that information to me. And I also wanted to share with you the human design graphic for the week. This is week 4. Energy flows best with purpose and passion. It means when you have a purpose and you know where you're going and you're living from your passion, it just flows out of you in a sort of this natural flow. The sun at gate 14 reminds us that prosperity is ours when we're aligned with our purpose and our passion. And in human design, you can translate that to living from your type and your strategy and your authority. And wealth and power flow with this kind of setup. When you're doing what you love, you know how fast time flies, right? You know how you just feel good and it gets you out of the funk maybe that you were feeling earlier. So the idea here in the shadow of compromise is when you let go of what you truly want in favor of doing what the world says that you should do, or what your parents think you should do, or what your family would accept of you, and not doing what you love to do from your own heart center. The gift here is competence, right? Competence, being in your power. The Siddhi, bounteousness. That's that love. I love that word. The earth at the gate 8 is called the gate of contribution in the new languaging, of course, fulfillment. I know I can contribute or not. And it's leadership by example here, because you either do what you love and show up as a role model, if you will, for others that are in your life, or you can also not go in the direction that you really want to go, but you're also being a role model, right? A leader. You're showing what to do or what not to do. In the shadow, it's mediocrity, right? Settling for less, just being okay when you could be brilliant, right? Living from somebody else's idea of what your genius is instead of living from your own genius. And style, doing it in the style. I love that word too when you think about that. This is my style. That's your style. There's nothing wrong with your style, but it doesn't fit my style, right? And exquisiteness, another awesome word in the city for the gate 8 or the gene key 8. Okay, so let me stop sharing because I saw a question pop up. In my natal human design, I have a connecting channel from the throat to the G center, 3313. Now with gate 8, I have it connected with my, phone. Darn, bless you, phone. Does it change the energies at all now? It doesn't, change them fundamentally. It adds to it, Asa. So now you can not only share your story of humanity from your experiences, but you can also make a contribution, right? That's the other gate, the eight there. If you have the gate one, which I believe you do, which is the gate of doing, you know, living your self-expression. Now with the gate eight, you can live from your self-expression and make a contribution at the same time. So both of those are defined. Now the other is short term, right? It's just for this week until another planet or another person in your life fills that gate eight. So it adds to it, doesn't take away the main channel. It just adds to it. So now you have more ways to express yourself in the throat for this period or for this week. So you may find yourself talking more, generating conversation around what you love, about your passion. You may find more opportunities to share of yourself this week, not only of your stories and of your life experiences, but about the contribution that you want to make in helping other people. So I hope that answers your question. Okay. So creation and fulfillment. What else? Oh, the Pleiadian Earth energy for the week, for the day. Lordy. Today's five, remembering. The five is the energy of change, right? So when we start with one, we have that initiating energy, and that next day it splits off into possibility by having two, right? The duality, polarity kind of energy. Then we move to the three. When things split, now we have more opportunities to create, which is what that energy of three is. And then we come to the four. The four is the energy of that pause built in so that we can pause to see how things have percolated in, to integrate a bit, to make it a new stable foundation, right? That was all based in what the one day was, which it was one intuiting, one listening, was listening. One listening. So our ability to go in and hear the voice of spirit from within us and not through all the noise of the world. And then remembering energy is about moving toward peace, cooperation, collaboration, right? So that it's a very Libra feel, remembering energy is. And the five says, let's move toward that direction, right? The world may still be crazy and there may still be people arguing about which way is the best way to do something, but we can move toward peace in that. We don't have to do it with argument and dissension and anger and upset. We can do it in a way that moves us all toward peace and honoring our different opinions and our different ways of thinking. So the five energy is motion and movement and change, while remembering energy is doing that in a peaceful way and in a way that supports sustainably everybody, right? In some ways. So it doesn't mean that you have to give away yourself. That's a tendency with the remembering energy. So cooperating and being together without giving away the farm, but also without creating anger or upset. So I think this gives us some compromise in a positive way, right? Instead of the more negative or shadowy way, not compromising ourselves or our principles, but being able to work with others and find a pathway to peace or to cooperation. So it's a really kind of good day, but just know things are on the move today. And if they're not necessarily on the move, we may feel like we want to move, that we want to change, that we're trying to get some energy up to move in a new direction. All right. So that is it for the energies for today and for the week. We'll also have another Human Design Week beginning on Sunday that I will cover on Friday. And I want a couple of reminders for this week. On Wednesday, the 18th at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. So 8:30 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. I will be again on the show with Anaya and Carol Ann on Angel Heart Radio, as we did not get to complete our discussion. Amazingly enough, we did not get to complete our discussion on the Human Design Solar Plexus Mutation. As Anaya had to leave and there was so much to review that we just didn't get through it. So we're going to finish our discussion on that. And the way you connect to that show is you go to Facebook, you can search for Angel Heart Radio. She broadcasts that show live at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday, our day. If you are in Australia. That will actually be on Thursday, the 19th at 11:30 a.m. Brisbane time. And I think that might be different in Melbourne and Sydney, but you're in a better position if you're Australian to tell me what your time is actually going to be in those time zones. But it will be at 11:30 a.m. in Brisbane and 5:30 p.m. here in the U.S. West Coast. And if you miss it live, you can always see it later, because she puts those recordings right there on the page. They're housed there. Okay, and let's see, if you haven't already done so, please hit the thumbs up button and subscribe if you have not yet done that, and share the video with your friends. And thank you all for being here. Let me read some last comments here. Kathleen Mallory says, I have hanging gate at 21, completed this week. You have the hanging gate at 21 or the hanging gates at 45? Because if you have the hanging gate at 21, it is completed because of the north node's placement at the gate 45. So that brings something else up for me to think about here, is that there are two gates then this week defined that are about money and prosperity and fulfillment in those ways. So interesting. I wonder what kind of economic news we might hear this week. I don't know about you guys and what states you are in, but our state just had to go backwards in the battle, if you will, for the corona, to, you know, keep people safe from the coronavirus. And so beginning today, we're shutting down some more things. I'm not sure what good all of that does anymore, but I agree in principle that we have to do what we can to support the medical world. So hopefully, I read this morning that there's a vaccine that appears to be 95% effective. We'll see. I'm not sure that I trust that either. So again, we're going to have to use our own inner voice, our own intuition, and flow with the what we feel in the moment about those kinds of things. But so I can kind of see how there might be economic impacts by states having to roll back things a bit. But I can also see how it helps us to align with our heart center, because then, you know, as things shut down, if you will, what's left to us, what's still open to us, is likely the direction that we're meant to move in. So we can positively look at that and say, oh, I see, that's the direction I'm going in. So hopefully that helps. Mimi, oh yay, with gate 14, I have an outdoor holiday event this coming Saturday. Ever hopeful for success? I hope so. Absolutely. J-Lo, I am all for trust and resourceful part. Went shopping and some things are in limited quantities already. So I went to the store Thursday. There were literally no juices. Like, the only juices that were there were the ones that, you know, people don't drink or that they don't like as well, like prune juice, right? We went to the store while we were in Vancouver and Portland. No, we were in Portland when we went to this store, and there were no paper products, right? No toilet paper, no Kleenex, no paper towels. And a friend of mine from where I live texted me and said, Costco has no TP. And I thought, well, maybe stores are pulling things off the shelf so people don't start to panic and hoard. And they can, you know, make sure that there's enough out there every day for the number of, you know, maybe even limiting what you buy. People are starting to panic again. And I think it's ridiculous. We haven't learned that lesson, but whatever, right? Stay in the peace and the flow. Don't worry about it. This is a week, though, where we will be focused on that kind of prosperity and economics and finances. Forum is on Friday, Kathleen, absolutely. I posted that on the Facebook page. I will send an email out reminder for everyone else. I think that is it for me today. Wow, 2 minutes to nine, 1 minute to nine. That's perfect. All right, everybody, take care. I will see you tomorrow. I've got to think about this week. Maybe you guys can think about this and text me or put a message underneath the video later on today when it's up on YouTube. Well, it's up on YouTube now. About what area you want to go into now that we've finished the 12 houses. Do you want to know more about each of the 12 signs? Do you want to know more about the aspects, the patterns, the planets? What do you want to know? What are the What are the things that drive you the craziest about astrology that you don't know? Let me know so that I can decide on Wednesday, what is it that we're going to do with our time, right? All right, everybody, take care. Much love to you all. Thank you, Asa, for being out there. Thank you all for joining me. I will see you tomorrow morning.